If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 285. It's Tuesday, April 13th, 2021. Everybody, welcome back to The Boop Show. It's me, Scott Johnson, and him, Brian Dunaway, over there, hanging out. What's up? What's up?
Hi, Scott. How are you doing?
Hey, man. I'm doing all right. I got had a busy day, but been playing on and off. You know, I've told you this before. I told you last week. I kind of hit a wall with World of Warcraft a little bit.
Yeah.
And
it's good. It's good.
Yeah, I smacked it pretty hard, and as a result, I was still kind of craving my MMO fix, and I ended up finding it in a couple other places, and I've been poking my head in and out of two different games this week, which is a weird thing for me to do.
That is a weird thing for anyone to do.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, game. I'm poking my head in and out. Hello.
Hello, other game. Now I'm poking my head into you. So I played a bit of that, the Final Fantasy there, the Final Fantasy 14 for the last couple weeks. And then for whatever reason, I just got thrown kind of heavily back into, part of it was a seven-year anniversary, and they were having sales on the latest version of the game and all this other stuff for Elder Scrolls Online, which I think is freaking fantastic. That game is so good.
I'm always going, I want to get back into Elder Scrolls Online, and then I'll play for a couple of days and then I'll stop again. I hate that because I really want to be fully invested in it.
It's really good. It's the kind of game you can be more invested in and not worry about that dumb monthly thing because they don't charge you for it.
Yeah, the monthly thing hurts. Yeah.
So you don't have to do any of that. You just freaking play. The story's great. The voice acting's insane. Even the smallest of quests have full voice acting and and like whole big stories to do. And the game is huge, and you can start and play anywhere, and it's just cool. And they got this preview stuff going on right now before the Oblivion expansion hits. So you're going to go to hell soon. Ooh, going to hell.
Man. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, it's like your own personal Diablo there. So
It is. I can't wait to go to hell.
Yeah, it's exciting stuff, to say the least, and I'm enjoying playing it again, and I wish I had more MMO time to play more.
Why can't that just be our job? Yeah. I know we do this, and we podcast, and we talk about video games. We play a lot of video games.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, sometimes I'm like, shouldn't this be my job?
Couldn't I just do this all day, nothing else? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are people that do that, you know, but the problem is, even the most, if you're going to get real big on streaming and make a bunch of money or enough money to subsist just streaming, right, you end up having to like go all in on a game. You got to be Fortnite all day, all the time, or you got to be, you know, whatever the hot game is, you have to just do that with the occasional.
You have to specialize.
You might dip your toe here and there in some other thing, but that other thing is very temporary because your base like drops off. You're like, I don't want to watch them play Among Us. I watch them for Fortnite. And then they leave.
Yeah. This is the truth.
Yeah. Hey, are your kids, they're a little older now, but are your kids at all into that Roblox deal? Roblox?
No, they all went through a Roblox phase, but they're all into the Rocket League. From all the way down to my 13-year-old up to my 22-year-old.
Whoa,
They're still into the Rocket League.
I love that. I love to hear that. I think Rocket League is rad and should continue to be a game people play, so that's cool to hear.
Season 3 just came out, baby.
Yeah.
Very exciting stuff.
Sounds like a bunch of sports fans in the house, kind of, because it's a very sporting competition game.
We really are. We're a lot of basketball players in high school, soccer players, you know, that very athletic minded. Anything that requires inexpensive equipment, that's the sport for our kids.
Yeah, I get you.
Not football. That's expensive.
Oh, I know, dude. It's like buying a suit of armor every year. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, forget that.
Yeah. You want to go broke? Put a kid in football. That's my way of doing that. Anyway, football's cool, though. I like football. I just don't like paying for it. Anyway, so MMOs are just, I don't know, man, freaking.
I'm with you. I wish I could find one that I could play. I want to start playing more long form games.
Yeah,
I really do, because I want to find a game that I can play more often. Like you said on Twitch.
Yeah.
This is something I suffer being a Twitch streamer. We play all indie games almost exclusively. And so it's really hard to grow an audience because it has to be people that are interested just in general. Yeah,
just in general gaming. And not only that, just like if you want, and there are people that love indie stuff.
Right.
I don't know. The show is basically that. So people, you know, our subscriber base comes here for that stuff as well. But I, you know, on a platform like Twitch, I don't know.
It's hard.
Let me say it this way. They don't even have a good way of dealing with people who are going to play 10 different games in a couple of hours.
Yeah.
Because the way the system works is you got to stop, go over to the thing, change the category. Now it's people can find it via the thing, but it doesn't really help you. Sometimes they consolidate. They used to have every little game inside the Jackbox games as a category.
Yes.
Now they just say Jackbox collection, and now, you know, that's the general thing you can watch. So
did you know that? Did you know that the Nightbot has the ability to quickly change and update all that stuff? I've just started researching it, but yes, it's one thing that I'm trying to look into. I'm trying to be every month I try to be just a little bit better.
Ooh, why don't you teach me your way, your mystic ways?
Oh, yeah, baby. I'm learning stuff. Yeah. You know me. I love to learn and then regurgitate it.
Here's what,
look what I learned.
My entire relationship with Brian since we met in 05 is this. It's like one of us found out a way to do a thing. Now we get on Skype and tell each other about it. Now we start using that thing. We've been doing that forever.
It's eons. Yeah, I feel like I'm a scout. It's like, let me run over here and take a look at this stuff. In games, I used to like to play scout. I like seeing where the enemy's at. I don't like engaging.
You like doing like recon. Sneak in,
sneak out. I'm like a tattletale. I'm like, ooh.
Hey, you'd like a little of this. I was playing an ESO earlier today just during lunch, and I played, I had to do a mission there. I had to say stealth the whole time, and I thought, hey, maybe Brian would like this thing. You just had to sneak in, see what you had to see, and get out.
Totally.
Try not to die.
Totally.
The game's like a full-blown like single-player RPG as it is. Like, there's all the multiplayer stuff for sure, but if you don't want to, you can just play it like an Elder Scrolls game, and it plays like one.
Yeah.
And there's so much story. Oh my gosh, there's so much to do. A lot of people don't know this. Like, people think that game is set in the same era as like Skyrim, Oblivion, all that. It's not. It's set 300 years before all of that. And it's back when things were a little more unified. The kingdoms weren't shattered. There wasn't all the problems that they ran into. I don't even think the scrolls existed yet. Or maybe they did, but it was just a different take. Anyway, the point
is... They were writing the scrolls.
It's a whole other era. It's a bit like... what's the other game that does that? Oh, the Old Republic. Star Wars The Old Republic does that.
That's a perfect example.
Yeah. 300 years even, I think. Something like that.
Right.
I also like you really... Yeah, Kinlan's right. You're not locked into one build. There's all sorts of creativity with your characters. It's a cool game. And console people have it if they want to. I don't know. It looks good. That's the other thing. On PC with my card and maximum everything, this is a silky piece of butter. No MMO looks this good. They all look like shit compared to this. So some of the stuff from launch, I mean, maybe showing its age, some lower res textures and stuff, but like newer stuff in this game looks great.
They can update.
That's right. You can be a mage. You basically can be a battle mage in this game because you can be a mage in heavy armor, have an offhand sword. You can do all sorts of weird shit. It's pretty great, and the lore is very good. Anyway, I like
it. I'm always intimidated, though. I will admit I'm always intimidated because I always get in, and I'm like, oh, I haven't played this in a while, and I get in, and I'm like, oh, all these people are running around. I'm like, oh, what's that guy got? Oh, that's pretty cool.
You get a little envy going on. Idiot. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, God, look at all these guys. They're all...
Well, here's what you do. Stuff. If you play with me or anybody else now,
right.
Ever since the game went Tamriel, what do they call it, forever or whatever it is, basically the world was made so you can... Go and do whatever content you want, any level you are. You're not held back by not being high enough or low enough or whatever. You can just go do it, and you'll be at level for whatever content you're going to play. I think they handle that stuff really well in this game, and it works. Unlimited Tamriel Unlimited,
whatever pre-purchase it is. Part but, of the Gates of Blackwood.
Yeah, that's the Oblivion stuff coming, the new expansion. But here's what I was going to say: if you got in, then you. Even if you're level 2 and I'm level 35, when we go do stuff together, everything is at level for both of us. So
son of a-
it's cool, man. It's a cool way to get people in and go for it. But what I'm just digging is dark. I like dark fantasy. They do it better than anybody else. They're not being goofy. It's mostly just really self-serious dark fantasy, which I like a lot. It's why I love Skyrim. It's why I loved all the Elder Scrolls games. They're just that sense of like foreboding, you know, mysterious freaking blue light in a cave somewhere, and you got to find out what the shit's going on. It's pretty cool. But the scaling is great. It's a cool game. You should play it, Brian. Now I'm saying that now.
I am logging in and re-looking at my account to see where I left off. I mean, it was like last year, the last time I peeked in.
Yeah, do it. Peek in there. Like, Elsewhere, I played that Elsewhere expansion. That was like the second to last thing.
That was when I got in. I think that's when I
dang it, I love that so much. That story was so cool. The dragon stuff was so rad. I loved everything about that. Was really good content. And it's all good. It's just a good game. It's a good game. Okay.
I'm
putting it out there. Take it from somebody.
I'm back in there.
I played MMOs since freaking EverQuest. Take it from me.
Yeah.
This is a great game. And I would even say, because it's not tab targeting and the whole, you know, cooldowny kind of thing that you get with most sort of WoW clones or whatever. This takes a totally different tact. It's more like a shooter in some way. Well, it plays like Skyrim. It's like you can go first person even if you want.
But, and you know, Skyrim's like one of my favorites. So
it's one of the greatest games ever made.
No brainer. Yeah. No brainer.
So people should play it. Don't give it hell because you're like, it's not a real Elder Scrolls game. I think it might be the most Elder Scrolls game I own right now. Like, I can do anything and go anywhere and do it at my own pace and have mounts and all kinds of other shit you'd never have, at least in a good way, in Skyrim. Horses were a pain in Skyrim. Every horse I ever had, I paid too much for or stole and got in trouble, and then it would die almost immediately because that game
every
sucked
time.
At that. It was just bad with
it,
that
it
stuff.
It is so punishing. It is. I finally just said, you know what? I'm going to play as – I just play as good as I can be. That's what I always play. Now my kids – now, Ethan and Andrew, they both play it as well. And man, they're just like devious. And I'm like, how do you get away with being devious?
Yeah, you can be devious.
I can't stand the pressure.
I know. I don't like being devious either. I can't be bad in a world like that.
It's kind of like Red Dead. I remember like thing. I don't want to be wanted.
Yeah, no, I get it. Other people in the chat have mentioned, let's see. Oh, yeah, the housing in there is real big. People love that stuff.
Yes.
They love the housing system in it. You can buy a freaking castle and like fill it with crazy furniture and all your extra shit. Just like you can go nuts with the housing system in that game. So if you want player housing, ESO has your number. All right.
Do it.
One other note I wanted to make. Nebuchadnezzar, I talked about on the show, gave it a glowing review. It's like those old Impressions games, city builders like Caesar 3, Pharaoh, Cleopatra, all that. Zeus. Those are all great games.
Zeus.
My favorite back in the day, a lot of people at the time didn't think it was the best, but I think as time has passed, it has much more glowing memories. But I thought Rise of the Middle Kingdom was the best one. It was also their last one. So it's been a long time since somebody's made one of those as well as I think those guys used to make them, Sierra and Impressions. Anyway, I've talked about all that. Nebuchadnezzar came out. It's very much in the vein of one of those. And right down to the fact that it's a 2D engine even. It's beautiful, though. It looks really nice. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was saying on the review when I talked about it on the show, one of the things that was missing was a proper sandbox mode, and they've added that now. I just wanted to get it out there to let everybody know. On the 9th, they launched it. It was just a few days ago, I guess. And it's got full sandbox mode, which all these games should have. And you can go just start a game and play forever and, you know, do all sorts of stuff like add a bunch of money or unlock the whole tech tree or, you know, it's not really cheat mode, but it's just kind of go be creative if you want to.
Yeah.
And make it as easy as you want it to be. So it's very good. So go check that out. And then Brian today ate an Italian sub because the chat room said so. So good job.
Actually, it was yesterday. I was streaming my Boop Show homework number 2 for the game I'm talking about today. And I put it to the chat room. You got to be creative when you're playing indie games to keep people engaged, because the game I played, it's fun for me, but sometimes it's kind of hard to watch. You've watched my gameplay.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So we got in a discussion about what I should eat for dinner, because it was on my mind. I was hungry and I couldn't decide if I wanted a steak bomb, which is, I don't know if you know what that is. Steak bomb is a local sub. Mm. Yeah. It's kind of cheese. It's just like, you know, shaved steak with cheese on it. Basically that's all it is.
That sounds really good.
It's so meaty. I was really meaty yesterday. And then I said, how about an Italian sub? And then I also said, or I can just stay home and eat a microwave yam.
Oh, man. Did you do that?
No one would let me eat the yam. They said I was better than that. And I'm like, then you don't know me most days.
You are better than that. Don't eat a microwave yam.
I am better
yam.
Than that microwave yam. Come on, man.
Brr. That sounds awful. Brah. Nobody
but I ended
that.
Up going with the Italian sub. That's what overwhelmingly, because I was like, I was really leaning towards the steak bomb personally. I was a little disappointed in the Italian sub, but I can always eat an Italian sub. And when I ate it, it was delicious. And I was glad the chat room got me to eat it.
Yeah.
Ate it.
Do you know that if you have a professional basketball team in Italy, which they do, they have a league there. If you midway through the game are like, what's his name's getting a little tired, I'm going to send this this benched forward in there to take his place. Do you know they call that an Italian sub? Did you know that?
I did not know that. That is a weird thing to have.
Even weirder to think it's a funny joke, which I did.
All right. I thought it was actually pretty funny. It was actually pretty funny. But at the same time while you were doing that, this jerk from pre-show with the Instacart was sending me a message too. And I'm like, leave me alone. What do you want?
Yeah, what do they want? What did he say?
Did you forget something? I was like, well, first I was like worried. I'm like, I loaded all that stuff really quick into my refrigerator. And I'm like, what if he forgot something?
Yeah.
And he did not. But Italian sub, professional basketball player.
What was that?
Tech crap. I don't know what it do. Did you say? You said it says that's like a robot, so I'm assuming so.
Well, it went air, and it was more like like stuff it, like pause on your little things. I don't know. It was weird. It was very silent.
Was my video not pausing?
No. Yeah, your video is fine. Just audio.
Okay. Yeah, that's what it was. It's Discord. I don't know what's up with Discord.
Discord and you are like dirty enemies.
You know what? Is this time to replace this 2019 iMac with a iMac Mini M1?
You
should get a Mickey.
My M1 Mini is a freaking workhorse. I've loved it. Loved it.
All it does is my edit, my audio editing and, you know, so things like that. So, I mean, you could totally do it.
Yeah, you can totally do it, Brian. Do it is what I'm saying. All right. Well, there you go, everybody. Now it's time for us to finally do this. So we're going to talk about our games that we played this week, and they're both very small, fun, independent titles, which, I got news for everybody. In 2021, that's mostly what you're going to play because major releases, lots of delays, man. COVID-related delays across the board happening nowadays, and we're not getting into any of those, but we'll talk about games you can play right now. So I got a game for a number of platforms, but I'm playing it on PC. It's also on Apple Arcade and the Switch, and I think consoles. I didn't look up whether Xbox or PS4 had these. They might. But the game is called Cozy Grove.
Oh, Cozy Grove. I saw this and I'm super jealous you got to play it because it was on my list to play very soon.
Well, it's pretty cool. Cozy Grove is it looks a little too cute on the face of it, but it's not that cute. It's kind of quirky and whatever. The art style reminds me of Don't Starve a little bit.
Yes, Cleese, Don't Starve.
Yeah, absolutely. Very much like that. Yeah. It's not that game at all, though. There's no, you know, you're not starving. You don't need to worry about your mental state. You don't have to kill anything. It's super chill. The game I would compare it to, and favorably so, would be Animal Crossing, with one big difference.
Interesting.
You're running around this island, this grove that's an island. I always thought it was called Cozy Cove, and it's not. It's Grove. I don't know why it's Grove, because it's more of a cove, because you're on an island. Anyway, you're this little girl scout, I guess, or whatever fake equivalent they made up in the game. And you
Spirit scout.
Yes, and you got stranded on this island, and then as you can see in the video, you're talking to a fire.
Log fire. That's the first thing I would do.
Yeah, you'd go to your fire and talk to him. Now the world's all washed out and kind of black and white when you get there. Mm-hmm. And when you go talk to the fire, one of the first things you do is around him, color bleeds back into the world. And the more you work with him and feed him these blue log flame things that give him more power or whatever, he spreads more and more light around the world. And then he kind of sends you on these quests. And in the early goings, it's all main story quests. For example, this one needs to go follow where that exclamation point is and talk to the quest giver. This quest giver in this case is a dormant spirit or a ghost that used to be on this island and it used to be a big deal here. So you're going to go find out why. You go click on them and boom, it's a big fat owl who used to be like a ranger or something.
Okay, so Ranger Owl.
Yeah, Ranger Owl. Charlotte Pine is her name. It's a lady.
Oh,
lady
that's
owl.
Not what I expected at all.
No.
Okay.
And they're dead. They don't exist in this, they're ghosts.
No corporal form, right.
But I think you kind of bring them back because you get them out of ghost form, and then they send you on quests to go talk to other ghosts and try to kind of unravel the mysteries around the island. But at the end of the day, once you kind of get into the swing of things, you're just sort of doing it's very Animal Crossing in this, like, all right, I got to catch some fish. I need to go dig some holes. I need to cut down these trees. I need to harvest this fruit. Like, a lot of that stuff, it takes time for those things to grow back, so you don't do them right away. If anything, it's more, even more than Animal Crossing, this game wants you to know that it's okay if you've caught up and done all you can do today. So it'll say, you know, oh, well, you've done this and this and this. Thank you for all of that. Hey, why not turn the game off? We'll see you tomorrow. Just come,
hey, I got
come
an
play
idea.
Tomorrow.
Why don't you go away?
Which is weird for
take a break.
A video game, right? Video games are usually like, yeah, stay here and never leave, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that seems like it's always seemed like something Nintendo has pushed in their games more than the game developers said, hey, you know, we need a mechanic where people need to take a break. So, yeah, you're right. It's odd.
Yeah, it is a little bit weird. And this game is definitely into that idea.
Right.
It's charming. It's light. It's fun. Here's a little sound from it. I'll play for you. Here you go. Well, that's the owl coming into place there. Now they talk. So it's got that whole thing of like fake language stuff. I love that.
I love that. What I don't love is that tiny turd pebblet dropping into the toilet noise. I don't like that. I don't care for it.
Tiny turd pebblet.
That's a terrible sound. That's kind of the issue. You go, almost got splashed.
Yeah, you're right. It's a little weird, but you get used to it. I guess I never thought about it until you said so. But and every once in a while, you feed these blue logs to your wood, to your fire, wood. And the fire
goes,
it's spirit wood, and he has a total like freaking mushroom trip on you.
He looks like he's freaking out. He's got this weird that's an emoji face I've ever seen.
Oh yeah,
that's
big time.
Like some kind of weird scream spirit thing,
big time. Ooh. He's super psyched. But this is it's good because he likes those, and story progression is kind of controlled by that. So how much further you kind of take things depends on how much wood fulfillment you have for the fire. It's a weird kind of central hub kind of thing, but as you go in the game, you'll unlock more and more creatures. The place starts getting bigger. The island itself seems to grow, and the color returns to a lot of places. And these old denizens kind of get their lives back. And then you kind of keep hacking away at it and unraveling the mysteries, finding, you know, there's some exploration going on when you find like a magical pile of pebbles or whatever, and you can kick those over.
Pile of pebbles has been plopping. Watch out. Don't touch those pebbles.
Like,
man.
I found some potatoes that way, which I thought was weird.
Right.
Here's a big decoloration thing going on. Anyway, it's a really cool little game. I really quite like it. It's super simple to play. It's not meant to be stressful at all. It's all very, you know, like Animal Crossing. Yeah. It's just meant to be.
Yeah,
this
it looks
little...
like it would be perfect for the Switch. I did a little research while you were talking, mm-hmm. and it is available on everything: Xbox, PlayStation.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Macintosh, but through the Apple Arcade, no doubt. I don't know if it has a standalone.
They do. The Steam version will play on Macs, but an Apple Arcade version will as well as, and of course, on phones and tablets. So really, the only platform this isn't on is Android, but it's the phone. Okay, so I've played both the phone version and the desktop version. Mm-hmm. Vastly prefer a controller in this game. Mouse and keyboard are fine. Well, let's put it this way. In order of how much I like it, touchscreen, the worst, but not any more than any other game. Touchscreen is just, I don't like joystick touch controls. They're just bad.
Yeah. They don't work too well.
Mouse and keyboard, second, pretty good. Not the worst thing ever. Pretty good, though. And controller the best, easily. So I've been playing controller on the PC, and the Switch version, I would assume, is a lot like that. And it's very good. I like it. Cozy Grove, made by Spry Fox LLC. They also published it. This came out on April 7th and is currently on sale on Steam for $13.49. I think there's also an introductory price on all the platforms. I know that Switch, the Switch eShop has a slightly lower price as well at the moment. Boy, this person's driving me nuts. They're not picking up those coins over there. Uh-oh. There he goes. Brian went weird again. Do you guys hear that?
Why?
I don't know. Should I change? I can change servers. Here. Let's try that. Hold on. Let's try it south. We're going to the south. U.S. Central. How's that? How's U.S. Central treating us today?
How's the Central?
That's better. I think it was them, not you. Yeah.
Okay, so probably dropping packets.
Yeah, it's like it looked like that. The Western server I was on is having issues.
Right, it's like bump those Eastern people.
Yeah,
I'm gonna drop all these packets. I don't want them.
Yeah, they can kiss my arse. Yeah, go ahead.
Right, Spry Fox. I recognize that name, and I thought I did. Road Not Taken. I think you played that. We talked about that.
Yeah,
yeah, that little rogue game was.
Okay, I forgot about that. I didn't know that was the same guys. That's cool. That's Spry Fox. There it is. They got a little. Their slogan is making happiness.
Yeah, everything they got is very chibi, right? It's all little cute, little.
These guys made Triple Town. Remember that game?
I remember Triple Town too. Now that's old school, right there.
Oh my gosh, that was a while ago, right?
2010. Wow.
Alpha Bear, whatever that is. Bushido Bear. Lots of bears.
Mm-hmm. Lots of bears.
Yeah, Road Not Taken. We did play. That was cool. Roguelike kind of turn basedy thing, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's cool. Well, I'm happy to support these guys. They have a neat thing going. I think this game is a very cool take on very light survival mechanics. It's mostly not even that. And like I say, it's Animal Crossing. You're just kind of developing a little town and bringing back all these campers and the people who used to run it, and you're building reputation with them. And the one weird thing it is, if you're sitting there and you're super addicted and you're like, I want to go all night. You literally can't. It's going to say.
You can't.
Come back later. There's nothing to do right now. Yeah. Give it a day. And I guess you could jump your clock forward, but what kind of
psycho? I hate doing that. I always refuse to do that in Animal Crossing. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah. Freaking monsters do that. That's who does that.
It's just like, take a break, Brian. It's okay.
So check it out. It's very cool. And can't recommend it enough based on just on the style alone. I just think the artsy style is very cool.
Right.
And if you're like, man, I played a lot of Animal Crossing, I don't want to play that anymore, but I'm still in the mood for that kind of thing. I just need a change of pace or scenery. This will probably do it for you.
Right.
All right. Brian, why don't we now talk about a little game you picked up called Wildfire.
Wildfire. I picked this game up on the monthly Humble Bundle. It was right in there, and it's one that I've had on my wish list, and you have it on your wish list as well. Came out in the latter part, or about the mid part, of 2020, May 25th. It is, you sneaky bastards. They made a 2D pixel stealth puzzle platformer where you can burn down the environment, summon rideable water bubbles, carry dead bodies of your village friends, and soar through the air with chicken power. And I couldn't be more pleased. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's stealth. I mean, you can't talk about this game and not talk about the hub of this game, which is the stealth play. The Daniel Hines, the creator and developer, is a big stealth fan. Has played plenty of those older Thief games and has been influenced for decades for great stealth gaming, and has found a way to bring that into a 2D platformer with some pixel art, and I love it. I love it, Scott. I hate that I missed it and didn't play it before, but you know what? I got it free, well, basically free, on my Humble Bundle monthly this time around.
You know what this reminds me of? I'm getting kind of a that other Clay game. What's it called? Ninja Mark of the Ninja vibe out of it.
Mark of the Ninja is a great, that's one of the influences as well. A lot of people, some people will say that it has a look of Terraria just from the visuals of it. I guess that's a fair point. I love the backgrounds and the foreground of this platforming game. The backgrounds are parallaxed, and the backgrounds look beautiful, and it's very immersive. And probably the best part of this game, though, is the puzzle solving. You go stage to stage in this game, and the reason why you're going stage to stage is because each one of them has objectives that you don't have to accomplish. There's usually only one primary objective that you have to accomplish, and everything else is secondary. And
you got a guy riding on your back. That's fantastic. That looks fun.
So yes, okay. So the game starts out typical. You are the chosen one, and you go do a small task. In this case, retrieve a meteorite chunk.
Yeah.
And when you come back, your village is ransacked, and you must go on an adventure, a quest to save who you can, if you can. And also, mainly just to save yourself.
Scott, this looks great, dude.
Yeah, Conan style. You got to save yourself.
I think I'm going to grab this. It's on. I know you said it was on the Humble Bundle, which I'm too late.
It's on Humble Bundle, but you can pick it up any day of the week for $14.99. And I think that's a great deal. It's an under 10-hour game, but there's a little bit of replayability here, if you ask me. I've enjoyed going back to each stage because those objectives that you didn't accomplish the first time, maybe because you haven't upgraded your skill tree yet. Mm. And the skill tree focuses on the elements. And in this case, we're mostly focusing on fire, which is your first elemental power. That's where we get the wildfire from.
Yeah.
And then we get a little bit of water action in there and earth. You can move some of those bushes. You saw me in this. Hopefully you're seeing this in the video footage. You can move those bushes around and move those vines that I'm climbing on. You can move those things around and also attack your enemy. The Duchess in this world has come along and has sent her soldiers after the village and has kidnapped a lot of the village folk. And they're retreating because they're just taking everybody back to their land, I suppose. But the trick is, you're special, Scott. You're the chosen one, right?
Yeah.
And these superstitious soldiers believe that you're a witch.
Of course,
and that's
they
how
do.
It all starts out. They sure. try to burn you, and instead you ascend and you start using your firepower to scare them. They're very superstitious, so you can actually make them run away. You'll see right now what I'm doing is I'm using my water element to navigate through this platforming area, and then you just saw me die.
Yeah.
Yeah, as I did many times. And I just keep restarting over and over again. Over and over again. You can also explore the whole stage through a quick controller.
Oh, you'd be like a flyover kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which I didn't realize right away. And I was like, oh, I need to take this path. And I'm like, no, wait, let me make sure. And I was able to scan the whole area. And then you can make good decisions. You're also probably seeing a checkpoint right now. And what those checkpoints usually do, they allow you to have an element access, like fire, so you can grab it in your hand and throw it at people. But it also is a place for you to drop your villagers off. So you're rescuing the villagers constantly.
I was
going to
ask you, is that a thing? That's an ongoing goal, is rescuing all the time, right?
It's odd because it's like they don't necessarily relate to each stage, but you'll be rescuing a set of villagers in each stage area. The level design is pretty good. So you don't actually rescue them every time, but there's a lot of times where you're like, I've already rescued this guy.
Yeah.
I've already rescued this guy like 10 times. Why am I rescuing him again?
Yeah, why do you want to keep doing that to them?
Right. What's wrong with you? Soldiers who you're primarily engaging in the very beginning, then you start engaging in like archers, and there's also bobcats.
Oh, shit.
Bobcats. Now that is very Mark the Ninja, right? Do you remember the I think it was dogs with the dogs or wolves in Mark the Ninja that you could engage with?
I don't remember.
Am I remembering that correctly?
I love that game so much, but I don't remember. I don't remember.
So that is a great stealth game. This Wildfire is probably my favorite stealth game because it manages to be, it doesn't get, you don't have to play stealth. Each level, this is where the genius of this
dude,
game
the
is.
Pixel fire is awesome in this game.
The Pixel fire is amazing.
Fire and smoke, dude. It looks great.
And you'll notice I just blew up everything. So the way at some point you may think, oh, this game is glitchy. But it's there is some glitchiness to it. But they've left some of the things that it feels like they were developing and they said, okay, we're going to have this happen in this stage area. And I think even the developers were like, holy Moses, if you move this here and do this there, it does this. And, you know, it doesn't really break the game, but it creates a new level of difficulty maybe. And so they've left in like kind of glitchy things that made sense. And I've heard some people complain about it, and I'm like, I enjoyed it. I actually like how the AI responds. The soldiers, they respond to, you can scare them, you can pickpocket them, you can intimidate them, and you can also make them kind of mad. There's even later game stuff where you'll have to grab a bobcat and use him, carry him, like I was doing the body earlier.
Yeah.
Use him to, so they can't detect your smell. Other bobcats can't detect your smell, so you can get past the stage.
Well, yeah, you don't want them to detect your smell.
Yeah,
I get that.
So just about every stage can be accomplished, even if you haven't upgraded your skills.
Yeah.
There's usually a path that'll get you through. It might not get all your objectives, but it'll get you through. And as you upgrade your skills, and they're all elemental skills, like, you know, you can upgrade your fire skill to from just throwing a fireball to bouncing a fireball to larger area effects.
And you just kind of keep like fun.
Moving them up.
I think I'm gonna end up with this. Or you know what I'll do? You know what I should do? I should wait for some listener's gonna go, I got the Humble Bundle and I didn't use this code. Do you want this code? I should just wait for
that. Yeah, Salentis was here actually in the Mission Deep Discord server. He gave away a game code during one of our streams, and there's a lot of people that probably have this game. So, yeah, if you're out there listening at Humble Bundle,
if you're listening, code, you're like, I don't want this.
Hey, that's not me.
Yeah.
I'll play.
Yeah.
Oh, they can chop away the weed so you have less stealth space? Oh.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you alert, you can whistle.
Yeah.
And that's important because you have to be able to organize sometimes you'll have to rescue more than one hostage, and you'll have to organize those guys. And so you'll want them to all move as a group. So you have to whistle, and that will bring them all together and they'll follow you. But that also can create problems with the soldiers, because then they'll come by and they'll whap your grass, and that's not good.
They'll whap your grass. Yeah.
Whap your grass. But then later on,
when they fight you toe to toe, do you have any way to defend yourself? Or no, you just have to sort of take it.
Well, it's kind of like this. This is a stealth game. Combat is very secondary. Yeah. Yes, you can fight them. Like if you were near a fire or something, you could pull some, you know, some fire and hit them, and you can kill them.
Yeah.
There's a spirit. There's a spirit counter that allows you to increase things in your spirit, upgrade skills.
Yeah.
And so if you don't kill anybody, you'll actually get points for not killing the soldiers. So not being detected and not killing the soldiers will actually give you more spirit points to upgrade in your spirit tree.
Gotcha.
Skill tree.
Here's some sound from the game. Check this out. Oh, something big's coming. I can see it in the waveform. Right here. Oh, I don't know what that was.
That's the text.
I like those noises.
Yeah.
That's just you jumping.
The soldiers are very. You're not very. You don't make any noises really, except for when you land. There's an area. You'll see it when you're playing the game. When you land, there's an area that exposes you. It's like, okay, I don't want my area to be outside this. You can recruit and improve your skills. But what's happening is those soldiers are responding to just about every time that they could be affected, and so they're always making noises like, and that's part of them minimizing what's on screen, because there's a lot of information on screen. And so they use a lot of audio cues to kind of let you know if you're not being very stealthy, you know? And so that's part of it too. The soldiers will have different levels of alerts, and you can see whether they're aggressive, if they're scared. They'll show you if they're scared so that you can actually intimidate them. And if you intimidate them enough, they'll run off cliffs. And they'll dive into waters and die. You also can take the water ball you saw me do. If, let's say, you're facing off with a soldier toe to toe near the water, you can actually pull the element into your hand, throw it back in right underneath the soldier. If it's close enough to the water, it'll pick them up in the bubble and it'll take them off. And they'll be drowning the whole time while they're in that water bubble. It is a simple game. You can easily play through it quickly, or if you want to really get all the objectives, it can get very complicated. The controls work pretty good. I use the I use my Xbox One controller with this, and I had no trouble whatsoever. But I replayability for me has been pretty good. Will I get bored with it? I don't know. But there is a each stage has is speed run record as well. So you just you can
tackle they got the whole time trial stuff. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, you can tackle it in so many different ways. And, but there's a lot of puzzling going on too. You're like, oh, okay, how am I going to get past this area? I need to get the flame up to this level, and I can't climb up that vine with this. And so you got to figure out some. There's a lot of puzzles in here. There's a lot of different ways to play it. If you like action, like heading toe to toe with soldiers, you can do that. If you like puzzle solving, do that. If you like speed running, you can do that.
Yeah, if you're playing that Noita?
Noita, that's a good comparison
as
well.
It's a lot like this. Some of the chaos you can make with environmental stuff, it's very similar, it looks like. That game's really cool. Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's out of early access now. Everybody should buy it and get it and play it.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, this game started out, like I said, I'd said Sneaky Bastards at the top. That is the developer's name. It's Sneaky Bastards. It's published by Humble Games, and it was a Kickstarter project for the longest time. And it finally, I think, was released in 2017 and very early. And then it's been, you know, refined and balanced in May 25th, 2020 is when it came out. And it's everywhere. Wow. Any platform is there, except, you know, of course, phone or whatever. Sweet. And what else was there? I think that's just, I'm going to have to give this one. I'm going to give this 8 fiery deaths out of 10 stealthy bastards.
Damn it. Every time you think of
every
a thing,
time.
I don't. Oh, hate that. Let me go ahead and say that I will give mine 7.5 weird girls at an island out of 10 there.
Right, out of 10 oatmeal cookies.
Yep. And so, see, Kendall in the chat says this game looks a lot like Abe and Oddworld, kind of the Abe's Odyssey kind of game. I mean, those games had static screens. I don't know what that new one's like. I want to get my hands on it. I hear it's
good. The platforming part kind of looked similar to that, right?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you were jumping around doing stuff, but the screens themselves were static single screens.
Yeah.
And the puzzle was to get through that screen, and then the whole thing would shift over, and now you're in a new screen. It wasn't scrolling like this.
Right. There's an overworld, by the way. You can't just willy-nilly. You get your reward at the end when you leave the stage. So you're always trying to get to the exit. That's always like one of the objectives, get to the exit.
Yeah.
And get to the choppa. And when you do, you take all the points that you've earned. You can light up altars and upgrade just specific elements. So like there's altars in every stage, I believe. So if I was trying to work on my fire, I could light that altar with fire element. And then when I leave, I would have more fire points to spend on my fire skills. And you only can choose those and upgrade during the overworld. So once you're actually in the stage, you're locked in what you got.
I may have just found what next week's game is for me.
Yeah, what you got?
I got a game called Castaway Paradise. Just barely got a code for it.
Castaway Paradise.
Switch game. Says you are crossing the ocean when a storm on the horizon thwarts your journey. Now you find yourself on the shore of a quiet island in the middle of nowhere, covered in seaweed. You wake up on the beach and look into the eyes of a friendly animal. It seems like the shipwreck is a stroke of luck. Your new goal is to live your life on Castaway Paradise as you want and how you like. And looks like there's farming and fishing.
Farming.
Apparently, that's what I'm cursed to play right now is a bunch of Animal Crossing.
Oh, yeah. Likes. This is super cute. Yeah, it definitely looks like an Animal Crossing type once again. Yeah.
Yep. I'm down, though. I dig those kind of games, so I'm in. All right. Neat. Excellent stuff. Check it out. Wildfire, available everywhere. Okay, let's move on to what now? Oh, guess my game. Oh, I love this segment. All right, here you go. Play this.
It's me, Mario.
Time for Guess My Game. We play game sounds from games of a long time ago, and we try to guess what they are. That's all it is. It's real simple, but a fun little competition nonetheless. I'm going to start with a game from 1991, Brian.
Ooh, that's 4 years prior to the one that I have today.
All right. This is, by the way, based... it's a home port of an arcade game, if that helps. Okay.
Okay.
And cool. I will say this is on the Super NES, if that helps. All right, here you go. It may have been Genesis 2, but I'm sure it was. I actually don't know. All right, here it is. I'm going to play it.
Ah! Ah! Man, really earning some coins there.
Yep, ba-ding, ba-ding, ba-ding. You know, doing good.
Ba-ding, ba-ding, ba-ding. Rah, rah. Now, it definitely sounds like a side-scrolling shmup, right?
You are.
Is that what I'm...
Well, it's not a shmup. It's a...
A shmup?
Side-scrolling beat-em-up.
Beat-em-up. That's what I meant. I said shmup.
Definitely not a shmup. Yeah. Shmup's like tons of bullets.
Just like a shooter. Yeah, I'm sorry. I said that wrong.
So
beat-em-up.
Chat room has guessed Streets of Rage. Someone else said Double Dragon. There's a few others there. Brian, any guesses?
This is 91?
91.
I would have probably said something like, yeah, Streets of Rage. I mean... That would have probably been my go-to place for that. I'm trying to think of what the was this a Neo Geo kind of game or was it what was it?
Super Nintendo.
Super Nintendo. Interesting. Okay.
I'm trying to see the date. Streets of Rage came out. Year actually.
Yeah, I'm gonna say
August of 91. Streets of Rage 1 came out. That was a Genesis exclusive.
Yep. I have a feeling it's going to be something stupid that I'm going to totally know, but I'll give you another hint.
This is the company would soon, not long after this, go on to make the world's most popular fighting games ever.
And it's not Streets of Rage?
No.
Was this before...
This is a third claim? Party, I should say. It's a third.
Okay, so it's not a claim. Like this, you're not referring to pre-early.
Definitely
Mortal
not
Kombat.
No Mortal Kombat.
No. All right.
Different series. The most popular. If you look at the most popular fighting game series of all time in the world.
Streets of Rage. Is it like a Tekken kind of thing that
Negative.
They went on to do?
Negative. Right, I'll give you one more hint. The same company. Would eventually go on to make games such as Mega Man and
okay, but I can't think of it.
Resident Evil.
Is it Main Streets of Rage?
No, it's not.
Main Streets of. Does it have the word streets in it? Is it
no?
How about punch? Does it have punch in the title? Does it have?
It has fight in the title.
Okay, so I'm going to go with Fight. Wait. It's not Super Street Fighter because that we already said Street Fighter, right? So
no.
I mean,
well, no one said Street Fighter, but it's definitely not Street Fighter.
Oh yeah. and Fighter.
Crimson Neon and JC Calhoun. Don't look at the chat, but they got it.
Okay, I got it. Okay. Yeah, I don't know then. Fist of Fights.
How about if it's the last fight you ever had, what fight would that
final,
be?
Final Fight.
There you go. Final Fight. Well
Final
done.
Fight. Okay, Final Fight.
Capcom made it.
Doesn't sound right.
It was Capcom.
How come I'm saying Final Fight and that doesn't sound right?
I don't know.
Look this up.
It's definitely Final Fight. Final Fight was awesome. The sequels are better. I forget which one it is.
Oh, wait. Weird. This feels familiar and foreign. All at the same time, I recognize all the characters, and it's so weird that for some reason my mind doesn't feel like that's right.
You know who my favorite character is?
The Brutus looking guy?
Mike Hagar. He probably is the Brutus looking guy. Here in his chat, this guy here.
Final Fight.
This guy's great because he had the tight green pants and the.
Yes, that's who
shoes.
I was thinking of. I absolutely recognize him because that was always the guy I went with. I'm like, yeah. Look at that guy.
Mike
look at that guy.
Hagar. He means business. Every time you look at him, you know what he's up to. Anyway, that's the game. Came out in 1991. That was on the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
Who's Mr. Perfect Posture? Who's that guy with the blue jeans and a white shirt?
I don't know who that is. Mr. Perfect
Posture. Look at his fighting style. When he walks up, he's got like perfect posture. Who is that guy? What is?
Oh, I don't know. Hold on.
I forgot later on they had old Brutus with his, he also wore the tank top, the wife beater later on in the later series.
By the way, he is he is one of two characters in all these, the entire series of Final Fight, Final Fight 2, Final Fight 3, Final Fight Mighty, Revenge, and Streetwise. These were all sequels. Mike Hagar is the only one that was in it except for this guy named Hugo. everybody else was only in some or a cameo in something or not at all after the first one or third one or whatever.
So, he's like the
Bert, Ryu. He's the Ryu Tremors. Of this series.
Right. There you go.
Yeah. He's the Liu Kang.
I was going with Bert from Tremors. Bert Gummer. So he's kind of that.
No, that's perfect. Because he stuck through it. He was always there.
Yeah.
Nobody he's the core. But the worms. He's like, him and the worms. He's like, that was it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you think you know who the core is, but it's not.
I love that. That's awesome.
Bert Gummer. Yeah.
I love that. All right. The dad from Family Ties is who we're talking
yes.
about.
Yes.
Michael Bruce.
Yes. Justine Bateman's dad.
Yes. Justine Bateman. We all had a crush on her. Don't deny it. Okay.
That's right.
Moving on to yours. I'm going to play this audio.
Mine's in 1995.
Okay.
Beat 'em up.
Here we go. Yeah. Genesis sound.
Yeah, you got it. It's a Genesis processor, some blast processing, man.
Okay, you say it's a beat 'em up, kind of similar, like street walking beat up stuff?
Yes and no. This one had a unique take on its traversing. So, you know, typically in these beat 'em ups, they were always, you know, traversing the pixelated streets of a city.
Yeah.
And while that's true here, it's a little bit more than that. As a matter of fact, I think it was the first time I really noticed when characters would be able to advance to the next screen of battle by, you know, by a good punch. Oh. I think they did a lot of that in Mortal Kombat.
All right, we'll see him. Wait, did you say something about... I'm starting to have a memory. Oh, I know what this is. I just played it on the Genesis Mini.
Sega Genesis. Also for the Game Boy Advance, Microsoft Windows, Linux, Wii, Macintosh operating system, Xbox 360, and PlayStation 3.
Comic Zone.
You
Comic
got
Zone,
it.
Comic Zone, is that
Good
it?
Job. Yeah, you got it. Nailed it.
You know what gave
Good
it away
job.
Was the Genesis noise, but also the giveaway was...
Panel to panel.
Panel to panel, yeah. That's a
knocking people from panel to panel. That was what made this interesting. If you've never played it, it's a beat 'em up where you're literally fighting in the pages of a comic and you're getting knocked around panel to panel.
You get knocked around per panel and it advances the story. And what's cool, well, that's also a Capcom game. What a weird thing. We didn't plan this today. We didn't plan on doing that, but we did it.
Just on our minds.
Yeah, I remember that game being hard.
Yes.
Like difficult. And I didn't play very long, but I also remember being.
It was such
cool.
a unique. I was the same way. I was like, oh, this is so cool. This is so much better than, you know, just a regular beat 'em up. We, you know, it's like 95. I was so sick of those anyway. Yeah. And I'm like, well, that's a nice new take on that. I like that.
It was pretty cool. I don't know why that didn't go on to be like another series or something, but
yeah. I think this game will probably find some way to make it back to our faces in some form or fashion, maybe a, you know, an homage or something will happen. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, time will tell. In the meantime, there's this. Hey guys, we got an email to read. Look at this. This is an email.
I like how you're stalling. Look at this email. There's an email that came into my email.
That's right. Before I should mention that, Brian, next week is going to be playing something called Ageless from Team 17, part of that March Humble Bundle as well.
Yes, I love Team 17.
I'm playing something called Penis Pie 2, A Trip with a Penis.
And I didn't fill that in. You filled it in yourself.
Yeah, it's a real... Just kidding. It's not real.
That's pretty.
I mean, I beat you to it because you were going to do it anyway. You're eventually going
to... Yeah, so I was thinking really hard. Then you wrote that and I'm like, mailed it.
We do this all the time to each other, so why not? Sean, a.k.a. Serlin, wrote in to boopshow@gmail.com. Says, hello again, Scott and Brian. I love hearing you two gush about old games. Now you wish there was a sequel or another one coming out. So my question is this. If you won the lottery and money was no object, what video game license would you buy and produce a new game for? I don't think we even need the lottery. Just say if money was no object. We don't need the lottery part. My choice would be, he says, Chrome Hounds by Sega for the Xbox 360. It was an awesome multiplayer mech game with persistent wars and unique radar communication systems. I would buy that license in a heartbeat and work on a new one just to bring it back. Thanks so much, Sean. Well, Sean, I'm going to go ahead and throw my chips in some agreement for your choice of Chrome Hounds. That was a rad game. And I love mech games, and there aren't enough of them, so that's a good one. If I'm going to pick one, probably Syndicate. They tried in 2011 or 12 or something to make a new shooter based on the Syndicate franchise, and it was cool. It was really good, but horribly marketed, and nobody freaking knew about it. And, you know, anybody who had nostalgia for the old PC top-down kind of RPG mechanic thing, they didn't even recognize it. So they did a piss-poor job of getting it into the right hands, but I played a bit of it, and it's freaking rad. Chat room saying Darkstalkers, which is another fighting series from Capcom. Yeah, Power Stone. That's another Capcom game. But a lot of Capcom games on people's minds today. Brian, what would you read?
Well, I mean, if you had to ask me another day, I probably wouldn't have picked comics, but I liked that. I would like to see that come back now just because it's on my mind. But I would like to see just some fun little games like those old Lucas Arts games. I would like to see, you know, I don't know, maybe a
like a proper...
I mean, we kind of got a couple of Monkey Island stuff, but I mean, yeah. I'd like to see some of the stuff they've kind of forgotten about.
Yeah, I'd be all right with that. I know. I just was... So for $7, you could get... what's it called? What's the remastered game?
Remastered?
What's wrong with me? Gorilla. D-pad. Something Gorilla. Oh my gosh, Scott. What is wrong?
Gorilla. Gorillas
chat
in the
room.
Mist.
Red Faction. Jeez.
Red. Oh, yeah. We love Red Faction.
All right, Red Faction Gorilla is one of my favorite all-time games ever on any
platform. I couldn't
platform
think of what
ever
you were talking about, like gorillas.
I know. I couldn't get it out of my head.
I kept thinking monkeys.
That game is so freaking rad. Red Faction.
Right.
It deserves a let's get back to Red Faction is what I'm saying. Let's get a new game out. Armageddon was fine. It was a little linear for my taste. Red Faction Gorilla is one of the all-time greatest games, one of the greatest all open world games ever made. It's Volition who all went on to get, you know, all their acclaim with like the I can't think of any games. I can't think of these names right now. What's wrong with me? What is going on?
Maniac Mansion.
No,
that's what you're thinking of. You're thinking of Maniac Mansion from LucasArts.
They got the thing with the deal. Saints Row, geez, the Saints Row series.
Oh, yeah, Saints Row stuff.
Saints Row's great, don't get me wrong, but it's time to go back to your roots, gentlemen. Make us a freaking Red Faction-ass Red Faction game.
Yes.
Give me that hammer and let me break stuff again. Oh, the freaking destructible stuff in there is still so cool. I've been playing that again, and it's great. It holds up. It's a little ugly, but the game holds up. It's so cool.
I wish I got... This is kind of like, okay, so let's imagine I had so much money I could wrestle Age of Empires away from Microsoft. All right, so we're talking about endless money here. Hey, they keep like rehashing the same stuff over and again. You know, they tried a little weird thing a while back, like was like Age of Empires Online or something.
Remember that? That was forever ago. That was like 2010.
Yeah, and it was okay, but I mean, and all they've been doing since then is just remasters. I'm like, I'd like just somebody to take it and just say, you know what?
Did you miss the big preview this week? This is hilarious. Age of Empires 4, they did a massive fan preview all week. And,
what?
You should see this. Yeah. There's a Steam page already with everything on it.
See?
Gameplay
we're
reveal.
On the same page.
Yeah.
We're on the same page. Oh my God, that looks so good. How do I miss this?
I know. Fall of 2021, they made a big deal out of it. It's coming to PC and Xbox, and you'll get it day one on Game Pass.
I thought this was just talk.
Oh, this is real. This is a real deal. This is happening. This year. You're getting it this fall.
This is just talk.
You're getting it this September. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
When you wish upon a star, man.
I hope there's a version of the game where I can just have it, the computer be stupid and have all the money I want so I can just build cool towns and never get attacked. Because
that was
that's how
the
I
best
play.
Part.
That's
like
how I play those games.
Send the AI to dumb. I love doing that.
Yeah. Because I'm not sure I care. I'm not really into RTSs anymore, like competitively anyway. I don't want to think about it all. It's just too much. But I love building cities and I love having cool castles and horse shit and all that.
I like converting your troops with my priest.
Yeah. No. Hololo. Oh, I have that file now, you know. Where did I put that guy?
It's Wululu, I think.
Is it? I thought it was.
Chip Ginder.
I thought it was Wololo, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think you spelled it Wululu.
Hold on. Wololo. I'm going to find it. Wololo. Come on. I'm not me saying it isn't helping me find it any quicker.
That's what I was thinking.
I'm going to find it, but I have such fond... Oh, there it is. I found it. Oh, wait. Is that really it? Okay, here it is.
Wait a few...
No, that's not it.
That's it.
Hold on.
Wolfman's got nards.
No, Wolfman's got nards. That's not it. Age. Here he is. Got him. It's so good.
I never ever heard the first part because I would always be over there like building stuff. And every once in a while, I hear off in the distance. Yeah. Like, oh no!
It's like, oh
no.
Shit, he's healing him. Kill him quick. He's healing those guys. Yeah, fond memories for Age of Empires. Love it. Remember that MSN, that weird MSN game service you had to play people through?
Oh, yeah.
That was so weird.
I do remember that.
Weird times, man. It wasn't even that long ago.
Why don't we just buy ourselves a web TV while we're at it?
There you have it. Let's do it. Why am I getting a Steam purchase? I wasn't on Steam. Oh, I bought a crown pack on Elder Scrolls Online. Never mind.
Oh, yeah. I still have 500 crown points or something.
You should do that. You should go. So it cost me 900 or something, but I bought a pig. Pig pet who gives me an extra 10 slots in my inventory. It's awesome.
Well, if you have a tip for me out there, I have 500 crowns burning a hole in my pocket for my armor.
Yep. Put it in your bum. That's where it goes, your bum.
In your bum.
All right. There you go. There you have it. That's our email for this week. Thank you, Sean. You want to send one in to us? You guys can at boopshow@gmail.com. We're at frogpants.com/boop. And a reminder that my card game that I'm making called Rock Runners Incorporated is now in its second week of Kickstarter. We've already broken through a number of stretch goals and have more to come. It kind of went crazy and it's a little surprising, but it's a really fun game and you might like it. I hope you would. And if you do, or if that's interesting at all, go check it out. Rock Runners on Kickstarter, or you can find it at frogpants.com/rockrunners. Don't forget to follow me and Brian on our Twitch channels. I'm at Frogpants. Brian's at Brian Dunaway. We're also on Twitter. I'm at Scott Johnson. Brian's at the Brian Dunaway. Mm-hmm. And on Twitter, you can also find the show at Boop Show. Brian, anything else you'd like to say or do or have before we go?
Just to add on to what Scott already said, if you do follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Brian Dunaway, I do the games we play each week and my Boop Show homework. I do that twice a week. Check it out. I think I'll be playing tomorrow night, actually, when I have to start. I usually play on the weekends, but I always post my schedule. I'll be playing Ageless.
Oh, very nice. Week.
Yeah, 5:30 Eastern time usually is what my go time. Go
check that out. Yeah, homework is important. You should always do it.
Yes.
Get your degree. Brian's degree is in homeless. No.
Boopology.
What is it? Hopeless? Hopeless.
Ageless.
Oh.
Not even close.
I thought it was homeless at first. All right. That sounds great. Do that, everybody. Thank you for watching, for listening, for being here, and otherwise participating in the fun that is the Boop Show. We will be back next time with a whole nother episode, and we hope to see you then. Bye.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Ayo, yo, yo.
Oh, no, no.